Tarion drew back his bowstring and loosed an arrow. The shaft whistled along the corridor, striking a plague monk in its eye. Snatched backwards by the force of the shot, the ratman flipped heels overhead as he ploughed back into the mass of his fellows. The corpse was lost immediately, buried in the chittering mass of froth-jawed Skaven, trying to force their way along the passage. The Shadowhammers occupied the armory at its far end, and had drawn up in a solid firing line across the wide arched doorway that connected the room with the passage beyond. Corridor and armory both were fashioned from what looked to be flayed skin, stretched over a framework of iron, and this had been set stone-hard with a yellowed resin. Cyst-like growths dangled from the ceilings, giving off a nauseating light that made everything look nightmarish and sickly. In that awful illumination, the plague monks of Clan Fesic resembled a tide of damned souls, boiling relentlessly up the tunnel, over the legions of their own fallen dead. Mad red eyes and chisel fangs flashed in profusion, looking to Tarion like they belonged to a single starving beast of appalling size. It was an unsettling image, and he was forced to focus on each shot he took, lest the scale of the enemy force overwhelm him. "They're gaining ground!" he shouted, loosing arrow after arrow into the mass. Around him, rangers and raptors poured storm bolts into the enemy, slowing their approach but not halting it.
"Damned rabid animals!"
snarled Galeth Hammerfist from his place in the firing line.
"They should have broken 10 times over by now. We've killed hundreds."
"They must be in the grips of the Black Hunger, or else out of their minds on some foul concoction or other," replied Tarion. "They'll be on us in moments."
"Hold the line until the last second,"
roared Lord Aquila Hawkseye, who sat astride Shenry at the heart of the armory. His vanguard paladors surrounded him, their griff chargers clawing the ground in their eagerness to fight.
"Disengage at my command."
Tarion kept shooting as the enemy drew closer and closer. He heard Crean's angry screech from somewhere amidst the armory's rafters.
"No, you bloody well stay back there," he shouted in response. "You'll get your chance soon enough."
Chittering, shrieking, clawing and biting madly at one another, the Skaven pressed forwards through the hail of fire. 30 feet away, rancid bodies toppled as bolts tore into them, the swarm undulating like a revolting serpent as more plague monks scrambled over the dead to attack. Closer, the plague monks brandished their blades, screeching dark oaths and invocations in a tongue that made Tarion's ears hurt to hear it. Closer still, froth sprayed from the eager jaws of rabid rat men as their bodies surged forward like a slow-motion avalanche of flesh.
"Now!"
cried Danastus. Even as the wave of Skaven crested high and surged into the stormcast lines, the rangers leapt back with practiced grace. Ratmen screeched as their lunging blades and bared fangs met nothing but air. The anger was short-lived as fresh hails of bolts peppered them, ripping through flesh and sending lightning coursing through the massed plague monks. Not all the stormcasts made it clear. Tarion could only watch as Galeth Hammerfist was borne to the ground by a scrum of Skaven. His blade flashed and his bolt-storm pistol hissed, sending puffs of blood into the air. But it was not enough. Jagged daggers rose and fell mechanically, and the mass of Skaven were hurled back by a sudden blast of lightning. Hammerfist's soul crackled up and away, leaving little but a blackened crater in its wake. Still, the maneuver had drawn the majority of the Shadowhammers clear and sent the Skaven charge sprawling into the chamber in disarray. Skaven tripped and fell hard, the pressure from behind driving their fellows to tumble over them in turn, or else trample the fallen into the floor. The vermin scattered into the chamber in all directions, their massed ranks broken and their momentum spent.
"Charge!"
The Lord Aquila and his paladors surged across the armory floor. They struck the plague monks like a thunderbolt, slaying dozens with their initial impact and sending the Skaven masses reeling back down the corridor. Tarion saw that even this would not be enough to stop their enemies. Already, fresh waves of vermin were flooding into the chamber, spilling around the flanks of the embattled paladors and braving the hissing fire of the rangers and raptors. Tarion leapt high, spreading his wings as he made the most of the high-ceilinged chamber, to take to the air. Crean streaked in, ripping the eyes from a plague monk with his talons, before banking away and striking again at another. Tarion sent shot after shot into the massed foe, concentrating on keeping them from overwhelming Danastus and his warriors.
"Sigmar's hammer! How many more of the monstrosities can there be?"
yelled Tarion.
"Not enough!"
shouted a familiar voice, and the Knight Venator felt his heart leap. He glanced back along the length of the armory. There he saw Neve Blacktalon sprinting towards the fight. He frowned at the sight of an ill-looking tribes girl clinging piggyback to Neve's shoulders, but dismissed his questions for later.
"Blacktalon," he shouted, "I owe you a smashed jaw."
Neve slowed for a moment and allowed the girl to slip from her shoulders before brandishing her axes and breaking into a lightning charge. She shot between the rangers, raising a fierce cheer from their lines, and slammed into the massed skaven pouring around Danastus's left flank. Blood sprayed high as Neve's axes wrought havoc, and skaven corpses flew in all directions. Tarion laughed fiercely as he watched his old comrade fight. This was the Neve he remembered, the one their enemies rightly feared. Gone was the listlessness, the haunted look that had weighed heavy upon her before she set out on her quest. Already she had slaughtered 2 dozen plague monks and more, and still she pressed forward. Tarion lent his fire to her attack, covering Neve's assault with the practiced ease of warriors who had fought together for years on end. The Skaven reeled again.
"Into them, now, all of you!"
shouted Danastus. The Paladors wind-shifted, transforming into blasts of gale-force wind and chain lightning, and streaking back to the heart of the chamber. They rematerialized at a full gallop, driving a fresh charge headlong into the shocked Skaven, who had once more been left foundering. The rangers loosed one more volley of bolts and then charged, axes and blades at the ready. They slammed into the Skaven at the same moment the Paladors' charge hit home, a solid Sigmarite battle line that drove the Skaven back on every front. Beneath Tarion's spread wings, the plague monks were butchered wholesale. The carnage was spectacular, and nowhere more so than where Neve hacked and leapt, kicked and hewed.
"They're breaking!" he cried. "Keep at them! They're breaking!"
It was true. The Skaven were losing their psychotic momentum at last, and collapsing into a panicked, fleeing mass. Plague monks clawed and bit at one another, scrambling over each other and stabbing madly in their panic to get away. A stinking musk rose from their lines as the vermin voided their glands. Tarion's eyes watered at the pungent reek. Still, he kept shooting, looping, crackling shots into the scattering foe. Skaven died in their hundreds. With their cohesion lost and their backs turned, they were easy prey for axe and bolt. Griff charges tossed corpses into the air like rag dolls, beaks clacking viciously and talons raking cloth and flesh. The Shadowhammers punished their attackers mercilessly, exacting a blood price for every Sigmarite warrior who had fallen this day. A scant few Skaven made it back through the archway to flee down the corridor. They were swiftly feathered with bolts, or else fell prey to the blurring axes of Neve Blacktalon. As the last of the Skaven were slain, Tarion looked back at the girl that Neve had brought with her. A feral, he saw, wearing copper vambraces on her arms and bearing tribal tattoos on her flesh. Not tainted, but ailing beneath the plague-ridden touch of the fortress. He swept around and alighted before her, folding in his crystalline wings, and holding his hands out open-palmed as she shied fearfully away. Tarion felt a flicker of suspicion towards this mysterious figure, wondering how she had come to be journeying with his comrade. But quickly his protective urge won out. The girl looked young and frightened, and besides, if she was accompanying Neve, then he trusted that Blacktalon must have a good reason.
"Have you not witnessed Sigmar's stormcasts in battle before?"
asked Tarion. The girl looked at him without comprehension, blinking in shock at the violence she had just witnessed.
"What language do you speak?"
he asked slowly. Why are you with Neve?
If she didn't understand your first question, she's not going to understand the others either, said Neve from beside him.
Tarion spun and clapped her on both shoulders with a laugh of pure delight.
It is damned good to see you, Black Talon, he said, still laughing. Who in Sigmar's name is your companion?
This is Catalia of the Morn tribe, said Neve. It is a longer tale than I have time to tell at this moment, but she's under my care. I swore an oath to her safety.
You could not have brought her to a more dangerous place in that case. This fortress is a thing of nightmares.
How did the chamber come to this place? Asked Neve.
We followed you. After you cold-cocked me as thanks for finding you a trail, the Lord Aquila wasted no time in declaring our mission to have altered and beginning the hunt for you.
Sigmar's hammer. I did not mean for the entire chamber to forsake their duty.
Once he knew what was going on, Donastus insisted it took precedence over mopping up the last of the Gorkin, said Tarion. We marked their positions on the cartographs and sent messengers back to Azir. By now, that region will have enough Knights Excelsior in it that anything bigger than a blade of grass will probably be dead 3 times over.
I hoped that you might follow me into the forest, said Neve. By that point, I'd already realized that you, at least, were pursuing me.
The enchantments around that dark woodland were too well woven, said Tarion. I've no idea how you even penetrated its eaves. We tried 3 times to cross the forest's border, and every time found ourselves back in the swamp, facing the wrong damn way. No, the Lord Aquila determined that once you vanished into the woods, there was nothing more we could do for you without triggering a full-scale incident by trespassing upon the sacred lands of Sigmar's allies.
Then what led you here? Asked Neve.
Chaos, said Tarion simply. We sensed the taint of this place clear as day, and the Lord Aquila identified it as a threat deserving of our immediate attention. I think he was half expecting that if you survived whatever fate awaited you in the forest, our paths would converge with yours here anyway. Whatever despotic chaos champion rules, such a vast and horrible place. It seemed a not unreasonable assumption that you might be on the hunt for them if you still lived. If not, you'd have been in the custody of the sacrosanct chambers by now, and there would be nothing further we could do for you anyway.
As he spoke, Tarion looked searchingly at Neve.
Did you find what you sought? His gaze asked.
Neve nodded slightly and twitched a finger. Later, said the gesture. Yes, but later. Neve turned and said something to Catalia in a dialect that Tarion didn't know. The girl replied nervously, coughing into her fist. Neve nodded in reply and turned back to Tarion.
Whatever the reasons, I'm glad you're here, she said. There's more than one threat here, and little enough time to deal with them. Tell him, said Tarion, directing his gaze over Neve's shoulder. She turned in time to see the Lord Aquila swinging down from his saddle. Armour gore-splattered, coat tattered, Donastus still radiated stern authority as he strode up to Neve and Tarion. Both warriors saluted their commander, and Neve dropped to one knee, head bowed.
Neve Black Talon, you deserted your post, he said, his voice as hard and sharp as a blade striking steel.
Neve could hear her lord's anger there, leashed tight to his will and straining to break free. Lord Aquila Hawkseye had never needed to shout in order to convey his extreme displeasure.
If this were a typical warrior chamber, then this conversation would go no further. I would not listen to any reasoning you might have for your actions, and would simply pronounce and enact your sentence at once. However, we are vanguard, and I trust each and every warrior under my command to act upon their best instincts at all times. That is the reason I am giving you an opportunity to explain yourself, and why I have not yet ordered you to relinquish your weapons.
Respectfully, my lord, I will explain everything to you and submit to whatever judgment you deem fit. But greater matters weigh upon us, said Neve.
She pressed on before Donastus could reply. The Sylvaneth are here, my lord, and they have a weapon that is going to annihilate everything within this fortress except for them.
I asked them to hold off on its use, at least until I could have Catalia here taken to a safe remove. I swore to protect her, my lord, but the Sylvaneth are hell-bent upon invoking its power the moment they can. They're fighting their way towards the fortress's heart to do that even now. I was meant to be leading them, and I hope that my absence will slow their progress somewhat, but even so, we don't have long. I know that I transgressed by abandoning my post, and I'll submit to whatever censure I'm due. But please, before that, I request leave to have Catalia escorted to safety, and to fight at your side to hunt down Lord Unghulgot before the Sylvaneth trigger their device. She saw the questions in Danastus's eyes, but she also saw something else there that filled her with gratitude. Trust, instant and unquestioning.
An account of your actions and an explanation of your whereabouts can wait, then, he said. But, Neve, this duty is yours. You swore an oath, and none of us can fulfill it. Besides which, you are swifter by far than any warrior here. Whatever this girl is to you, if you wish her spirited away to safety, you will have to do this yourself.
Neve blinked. Of all the responses Danastus might have given her, this was not what she had expected. She could feel the presence of her first mark lurking somewhere deep within the fortress, not far now from where she stood. Her huntress's nature burned with the desire to run him to ground, to take vengeance for all the lives he had taken and the horror he had caused, to slay him for Sigmar, and for Wither, and for herself. Yet as she looked at Catalia, standing shaking and wide-eyed but as determined as ever, Neve recalled every word she had said to Wither. She truly was more than a weapon, more than either the Sylvaneth or Sigmar had made her to be. She had been blessed with the gift of life eternal. She had surely to use that for more than just spreading death.
Tarion, she said.
Neve, he replied, expression deadly serious. As far as I can sense it, the Chaos Despot who rules this fortress, Unghulgot, is less than half a mile due north of here through the fortress, she said. I believe that he's on this level, more or less. I've a vague impression of a huge space, some massive chamber with a lot of air vibrations and echoes marking it out. I think he's there, or thereabouts. I entrust my hunt to you, old comrade. Please do me the honour of slaying this mark while I take Catalia to safety.
What are you saying? Asked Cat. What is happening, Neve? Are they going to send someone with me? They don't have to waste the warriors. I can fight my own way out, or I can stay and make sure the Swamp King dies before I do.
Neve ignored Catalia, keeping her gaze level with Tarion's. Please do this for me, she said. Tarion bowed. Of course, it is my honour.
If we can reach the Sylvaneth and prevent their use of the weapon, so much the better, said Danastus. If not, we will ensure the death of this Unghulgot, and then retreat with all haste. Any warriors who must face reforging when the Sylvaneth weapon is used will gladly pay the price for victory.
I can but thank you both for this, said Neve.
Don't thank me yet, said the Lord Aquila. You and I still have a very long conversation ahead of us, and I believe you will find it uncomfortable. But for now, go with the grace of Sigmar.
Neve saluted and turned to Catalia. Climb on my back, she said, seeing the stubborn look creep back into Cat's eyes as she realized what was happening. Remember, you swore to obey my commands.
Does not mean I have to like them, said Catalia,
wrapping her arms around Neve's neck and coiling her legs about her waist as best she could. Neve hefted the girl easily onto her back. I know, Cat, said Neve. None of us have to like our orders, but we do have to follow them.
Thank you, said Catalia in a small voice, right in Neve's ear.
Neve reached back with one hand and clasped one of Catalia's for a moment. Then she hefted her axes and readied herself for a desperate sprint.
Hold tight and don't let go, she said.
And with that, Neve broke into a lightning-fast run, praying to Sigma as she went that she would outrun Wither's weapon. Chapter 15. Wither swung her sickle stave into the face of a goggle-wearing chaos cultist. The weapon hit him in the jaw and ripped it away. He reeled back, tongue lolling grotesquely. Wither swung the heel of her stave up and slammed it into the wound, relishing her enemy's agonized gurgle as she shoved him off his feet. The branch witch stepped over her fallen victim and cast a quick look around. The Sylvaneth had swept through a chamber above a spiraling brass stairwell and swiftly butchered the few chaos worshippers that rushed to stop them. Wither relished the violence, even though part of her knew that each such encounter was a delay she could ill afford. Still, she couldn't help but inflict as much pain as possible on those that got in her way. It was that or scream out loud with frustration and rage. In truth, she had done that too, more than once. Wither sent an imperative note swelling through the spirit song, colouring it with shades of urgency and stealth. A band of dryads swept forward in response, flowing down the stairs with eerie grace. A moment later, their harmonies flowed back to her, confirming safe passage and conveying respect and deference. She responded with an impatient gesture to the rest of her followers. What remained of Clan Thidgale advanced, and Wither followed. Ithari fell into step beside her mistress, shooting a sly glance at her. Wither felt her handmaiden's emotions bleeding through the spirit song, and they stung her temper.
"This is about more than petty rivalry, fool spite," hissed Wither. "You are no fit replacement for Black Talon, and you will not take her place. You are self-satisfied and vindictive. And if it were not for your skill as a sorceress, I would cast your short-sighted Deadwood aside. You know what rests on this endeavor."
"Your desire for her is but carvings wasted upon rotted wood," sang Ithari. "Storm's lash and drifting ash be all that endures of her Harwood's ruin."
"Think you know better, do you?" asked Wither. "This is why you will never be more than you are. You mistake arrogance for wisdom, and venom for strength."
"She a ways a skit. I here stand times by times beside you," said Ithari.
"That she has, and that you do. But this has gone awry. She should have been at the heart of it. She should have invoked the weapon by her own hand, willing as you would be to do so. But her role in this has been set askew."
"Thunder's Lord?"
"No, this is the fault of the savage. A chance encounter, something that couldn't be foreseen. She stirred something within that girl that would have best remained buried. I should have arranged for an accident to befall her on our march, perhaps. But no, the damage was done before she even reached us. The savage's demise would only have placed suspicion upon us and driven my girl away the faster. If only one of these fumbling chaos slugs could have stuck a yard or two of iron through her fleshy little neck."
"Asundered, the roots dividing?"
asked Ithari, as the two of them reached the bottom of the stairway. Beyond, Wither saw a grand hallway down which marched columns of worm-gnawed bone. Huge double doors stood at its far end, inscribed in verdigreed iron, with the trilobe of Nurgle. A warband of Blight Kings stood before the doors, brandishing maces and axes.
"No, my handmaiden, not yet," said Wither. "This is a song long in the composition, and it shall be sung, however willing or not are those who perform. One note may quaver, but another swells strong and true. Let us set in motion that which we came to do, and let me worry about how to rein in my wayward girl."
Ithari hissed with feral delight and flowed down the hallway. More than 100 forest spirits surged in her wake, and Wither let them go.
The young can sate their lust for blood upon their roots, and glut themselves upon the now,
she crooned, sliding the weapon from its bag and turning it over in her talons. Eldritch light glowed from within and played across her dark bark skin.
Let older and wiser beings dictate the fate of tomorrow and all the seasons henceforth.
Ithari drove her enemy back, stabbing and needling with her barbed tendrils. Inch-long thorns punched between armor plates to sting at his flesh, rake his eyes and tear gobbets of meat from his body. The branch wraith keened with the simple glee of doing violence to another living being. She prided herself on her infinite spite for the fleshed beings of the realms, channeling her disgust at their lumpen forms, their fluid-filled bodies and clumsy words, their idiot craftings and pathetically short lives. To Ithari, those not of the Sylvaneth race were playthings at best and vermin at worst, and she felt nothing but pleasure at their suffering. The Blight King rallied, sweeping his axe up through her tendrils and severing a thicket of them. Ithari hissed and coiled away, pushing an imperious command out through the spirit's song to the Sylvaneth around her. Dryads answered her call, dutifully lunging between Ithari and her foe. One of them paid with her life, the huge axe thudding into her body and bisecting her face and chest. Blood sap sprayed, but Ithari saw that her enemy's weapon was stuck fast in the dryad's twitching body. Swatting aside a droning cloud of flies, Ithari lunged around the dying dryad. As she went, she wove her tendrils together with fearsome speed, coiling them into thick braids tipped with bristling nests of thorns. These she thrust forward with all her might, punching them through the faceplate of her enemy's helm and then through his eye sockets into the brain flesh behind. The Blight King was propelled backwards, crashing into the double doors hard enough to toll them like a bell. Ithari ripped her thorned tendrils free and threw back her head with a screech of victory. She whipped around, looking for more victims to butcher, but the Blight Kings were all corpse meat. Lips twisted into a moo of disappointment, Ithari looked to Wither.
"Opened the way, it sealed the portal,"
she said, sending her black tongue slithering out to lick polluted blood from her cheek.
"Vile wraith, step aside,"
said Wither, striding up to the doors with her stave held high.
"And don't sup on their blood, sapling. You don't know what pollutes it."
Wither swept her arms wide, and Ithari felt the tingling magics of Gairan rise around her as her mistress went to work. She began a whispering chant, jagged wooden fangs grinding together over the words. Two other branch wraiths remained beside her, Kaig and Rissith, and both followed Ithari's lead in bolstering their mistress's magics. Their sorcerer's call flowed down through the corrupted flesh and bone and plundered stone of the fortress, further penetrating the silt and muck of the swamp, the tortured soil below it, down to where the pulsating realm roots cut through the bedrock. Those roots were the purview of the Sylvaneth, and the Sylvaneth alone. Only Elariel's children could draw upon their power or flow into their magical currents to travel or speak over the vast distances they crossed. And only the Sylvaneth could summon the realm roots forth when needs truly must. The hallway shuddered. Something gave a deep, tectonic groan. Ithari's chant grew faster, more frenzied, until her fangs slit her lips and caused her own dark blood sap to drizzle down her chin. She whirled in circles, tendrils lashing, wild with glee. Stone split and rotted bone erupted, spraying upwards and pushing forest spirits back as glowing realm roots drove up from below. They were huge, thick as several tree trunks twined together, and they glowed a deep jade with the magic of the realm of life. Wither's voice soared to a piercing screech, and she brandished her stave at the doors. The realm roots did as bidden, rearing back, then lashing forward like striking snakes. One concerted impact was all it took to stave in the massive doors. Torn from their hinges, buckled inwards as though kicked by an angry god, they crashed down and skidded away, trailing fat sparks as they slowed to a stop. Wither staggered and leaned heavily on her stave. Ithari felt the sudden weight of the enchantments they had wrought crashing down upon her and her sisters. All three branch wraiths let go of their spell, as though releasing the end of a blazing brand, recoiling with shrieks of pain and shock. The realm roots shuddered, then withdrew, coiling slowly back down into the depths and leaving a ragged pit in their wake. Wither gestured to the huge chamber that lay beyond the sundered doors.
"Onwards, to an ending of this sorry tale," she said,
and Ithari hissed with glee at the thought of the slaughter they were about to unleash. Wither clutched her stave tight, and the weapon tighter still. Her blood sap ran hot and sluggish with the aftermath of the magics she had unleashed, and the grubs that clung to her body waved their heads in idiot agitation. Breath rasping, she sang to one of the ensorcelled insects until it squirmed up her chin and pushed its head between her jaws. Wither bit down, puncturing the thing's thick skin, and hot, magical juices squirted into her throat. She drank the grub's essence, feeling it restoring her vitality, even as the creature's stubby legs contracted and its body drained to a flaccid grey sack. Wither let the grub fall, peeling away from her bark flesh to splat on the floor. She stepped over it, whirl runes glowing bright across her body again. Now she was ready for the ritual that lay before her. Never mind that the child had failed her in this. Wither knew that their dealings were far from done, and in the meanwhile, this was a pleasure she would take for herself. Wither stepped across the threshold and into the heart of Lord Unghulgoth's fortress. To her surprise, his sanctum was not some huge laboratory or trophy-stacked war room. Instead, she found herself staring into a truly immense library. The chamber had to be several thousand yards from wall to wall. Huge stone bridges stretched out from the door Wither stood at, and several others besides, to converge at the chamber's heart. There they formed a platform that stood atop a bone plinth, which itself vanished down into the dark pit that was the chamber's only other floor. How deep that pit went, Wither could not have said, but the walls on every side of it were made up entirely of bookshelves. Iron platforms and gantries crawled across them, spreading up from the pit's depths, like some strange creeping plant life, and stretching precariously across the void to connect to the central dais. From where she stood, Wither could see that the nearest bookshelves were crammed with mouldering scrolls and rotting books, tomes bound in flesh and covered in swivelling eyes, grimoires whose fleshy hides boasted ripe buboes ready to burst, and countless other volumes. She had no reason to believe that any of the other myriad shelves were any different, and for a moment Wither's mind rebelled at the thought of just how much knowledge must be concentrated in this place. All of it foul, she thought, with horror. All of it tainted by chaos, and turned to evil and ruin. The chamber's walls towered up and up, tapering slowly into a cone shape, that defied logic and left entire shelves of books hanging precariously, hundreds of feet above any obvious way to reach them. Above, capping the chamber like a staring eye, was a massive dome of amber-hued glass. It was veined with black mould and displayed the trilobe sigil of Nurgle, wrought in vast glass pustules.
"This is a place of incalculable evil," breathed Wither. "We do Alariel's work in destroying this aberration. Come, my spirits, to the dais."
Surely, reasoned Wither, that huge stone platform must be the very heart of Lord Unghulgoth's fastness. What better place to invoke the weapon? As she marched down the walkway towards the chamber's heart,
whithersaw the dais supported an entire alchemical laboratory, several ironclad surgical slabs festooned with horrible-looking instruments, map tables, weapons racks, and many other affectations.
"Our enemy's true sanctum,"
she said to Ithari, Kaig, and Rissith.
"Poetic, that we shall bring him to ruin from the place he takes his rest. Echoes plentiful are there, yet watching eyes and ready blades a few,"
sang Ithari.
"Wherefore stand the sentinels?" "We have beaten our enemy to the killing blow,"
said Wither.
"It is as was foreseen. If we move swift and true with our purpose..."
"Then you shall deliver your fascinating weapon straight into my waiting hand,"
boomed a deep voice that echoed through the library stacks.
"Your arrogance astounds me, old stump, but only marginally more than your perpetual stupidity."
Wither hissed, casting about for the source of the voice.
"Beware, Shade's words," said Ithari, glancing behind them.
Beyond the toppled metal doors, the archway was now packed with Blight Kings, dozens more than they had slain in their first attack. A hulking monster of a warrior stood at their head, hefting a cleaver taller than a dryad.
"More upon the walkways,"
said Rissith, pointing to where warbands of Nurgle worshippers had flowed in through the chamber's other doorways. They were already on the move, clattering along the gantryways and marching down the stone bridges to bring their forces to bear. The drone of huge insect wings filled the air as, rising from the pit, came a swarm of flies the size of dray horses. Sat astride each of the revolting demon insects was a champion of Nurgle, scythes in their bloated hands and horned helms sitting atop their festering heads. Kaig sent a wordless crescendo of alarm through the spirit song and began a rasping chant to gather her magics. Wither looked up with grim resignation to where a huge shape moved against the light of the glass dome. Coiling from atop one of the towering bookcases came a monstrous hybrid beast, half dragon, half fly. It launched itself heavily towards them, and the low drone of its immense wings filled the air as it descended. Wither saw Unghulgot's rotten form sat astride the fly dragon's saddle. Even at such a distance, she felt his septic yellow gaze lock with her own.
"These things are no use for flesh, but they have something I desire,"
cried Unghulgot, his voice amplified unnaturally to echo through the chamber like thunder.
"Slay them all for the glory of Nurgle, and bring me the weapon their branch witch bears. A boon of greater poxes for the champion who does my will."
With that, Unghulgot steered his monstrous steed into a steep dive. The swarms of fly riders rose from the pit, and the warbands upon the causeways and gantries gave a great roar of glee. Wither felt hope withering in her breast as she looked upon the odds arrayed against her. But still her hate and her faith burned cold within.
"We may not live to see the end of this, my kin, but it will end, as was foreseen,"
she snarled.
"Forward to the dais! Clear me a path, and let nothing give you pause."
The last warriors of Clan Thyrgael raised a keening war cry and surged down the bridge towards the distant dais, with their talons and blades lashing. Tarion stalked down a fleshy corridor, eyes darting across the tangle of Sylvaneth and Rotbringer dead that strewed its floor. He tried and failed to ignore the mats of pseudopods that had slithered from the meat floor to suckle at the corpse's fluids. A light flared ahead of him, resolving from the gloom into the shape of Crean, winging swiftly back to him. The star eagle alighted on Tarion's forearm and gave a string of screeches and beak clacks.
"Foes ahead!"
called Tarion over his shoulder.
"We're nearing the heart of the fortress!"
"Sigmar's hammer, you'd bloody hope so,"
grumbled Carias Wintercrest,
leading his rangers up the passage behind Tarion.
How big is this damned fortress? What possible use is a stronghold so vast that you can lose invaders in it entirely?
Never question the madness of chaos, sir, said Alora fire-shot from behind him. That way lies madness of your own.
And never quote my own damn lessons back to me, replied Wintercrest, even if they are quite right.
Wintercrest, send messages to the other brotherhoods, said Tarion. Crean and I will push ahead and find a staging post for you all to gather on.
Take my ether compass,
said Wintercrest, tossing the arcane mechanism to Tarion, who caught it neatly out of the air.
We'll converge on its resonance.
Wise thinking, said Tarion.
See you on the battle line, Ranger Prime. Wintercrest offered Tarion a warrior salute, then turned back to his rangers, issuing swift orders for them to divide up and locate the other probing forces who were hunting for the fortress's heart. Tarion ran up the passageway, Crean leaping from his shoulder to streak ahead. He followed the Star Eagle's light, hearing now for himself the distant clangor of battle up ahead.
Sigma, let us not be too late, prayed Tarion as he ran, and allow Neve to escape in time.
Neve sprinted as fast as she dared, though it was not nearly as fast as she would have liked. Catalia clung to her back with desperate tenacity, but the girl's strength was beginning to fail as the contagions of the fortress gnawed at her spirit. The Stormcast Eternal clattered down a brass stairway and into a long, low-ceilinged chamber that reeked of unwashed bodies. In the yellow light of vile globes, Neve saw the rudimentary living quarters of Ungholgoth's cultists spread out before her. There were hundreds upon hundreds of festering bedrolls, racks for weapons and armour, dirty cookfires peppered with human bones, and a strew of filth and detritus that stretched away in drifts to the chamber's distant walls. The entire space stirred with the drone of flies, and squirmed with a carpet of beetles, worms, maggots, and scurrying vermin. Catalia gagged.
By Trakothian's blazing maw, how can any living thing exist amid such stench? Exclaimed Neve in revulsion.
She saw the exit from this chamber, distant against the far wall, and set off towards it at a run.
Neve!
Coughed Catalia.
I see them, Cat, said Neve. Just hang on.
Shapes stirred amongst the filth and ruin. Neve had sensed their presence the moment she entered the chamber, the reek of their bodies and the irregular thump of their diseased hearts. Evidently, not all of Ungholgoth's cultists had answered his summons to battle. She estimated more than 100 foes were rising to their feet as they registered her arrival, a thin scatter of enemies across such a huge chamber, and many of them wounded or sickly, but still more than enough to slow her flight if she let them. Neve knew that she couldn't afford that. She dug into her reserves of stamina and ran hard for the far archway, which drew closer by the moment. A trio of ragged warriors rose from their smouldering cookfire directly in her path, hefting rusted weapons as they saw her coming. Neve feinted right, then lunged left, throwing her already surprised enemies off balance. Her axes took the head of one and the arm of another, and then she was past. She heard a whickering and dodged, prompting a yelp from Catalia as she was almost flung aside. A hatchet spun through the air, flung by the last cultist, and sailed over Neve's shoulder. More cultists were massing. Many wore the goggles and aprons Neve had seen already, while others were garbed in mouldering robes and clutched ritual daggers in their lepers' hands. She ignored the ones running from the far corners of the chamber, for they had no hope of reaching her in time. Those with the most self-possession, however, had realized her intent and rushed to block the exit. Already Neve could see 20 of them massed between her and freedom, with more hobbling and lurching as fast as they could to join the blockade.
How will we get past them? Cried Catalia.
By blood, said Neve. Just hold on as tight as you can. This will be rough.
Neve accelerated, axes swept out to either side. Her enemies' eyes widened as they saw her intent. Those in the front rank backing into those behind with alarmed cries. They brandished their weapons and tried to brace themselves for her impact. Just before she struck their lines, Neve leapt, driving her knee into the chest of the closest cultist. His ribs shattered and a bloody rush of air burst from his mouth as she drove him backwards into his comrades. Her axes scythed through the chaos worshippers to either side and sent more gore showering into the air. Neve hit hard enough to drive deep into the cultists' mass, but their bodies were bloated with corruption and pressed together in a crowd. They absorbed Neve's charge at a cost in lives, and then surged in on her from all sides. Fists and feet lashed in at her, daggers struck sparks from Neve's armor. Conscious of the vulnerable girl clinging to her back, Neve kept turning, kept putting herself between her attackers and Catalia's fur-clad body. Still, she heard Catalia cry out as an enemy's blade found her flesh, felt the tribes girl's grip almost falter as she spasmed in pain. Neve swung her axes as best she could, smashing their hafts into faces and ripping their blades through guts and chests, but the cultists were so close and so compacted they began to pin her arms. Faces leered, goggles reflecting warped parodies of her furious expression. The mob howled and screamed with one voice, terrified of her, but also exultant at the thought they might manage to overwhelm this Sigmarite warrior. Neve managed to kick the legs out from under another enemy, feeling satisfaction as she heard his bones crunch beneath the feet of his comrades. She smacked the head of one of her axes into the teeth of another cultist, stoving his face in and sending him staggering back. She hissed as a dagger found its way through a chink in her armor and drove into her midriff. A wild punch caught her square in the jaw, rocking her head back, and with a snarl, Neve returned the favor with a headbutt that drove her attacker to the floor. A sudden weight vanished from Neve's back, and her eyes widened in horror. "Cat!" she cried, smashing her nearest assailant's back and spinning around. For a dreadful moment, Neve expected to see Catalia fallen, slain by cultists she could not avoid. Instead, Neve turned in time to see the tribes girl slam her forearms together and scream out a wordless war cry. A ferocious shockwave of jade energies burst from Catalia's vambraces and blasted the cultists and Neve alike from their feet. Neve hit the ground and rolled, before coming up in a skidding crouch. She launched herself back towards Catalia. The closest to the girl burned with jade fire, screaming and writhing as their flesh crisped and their eyes boiled away. A strange scent rose from their burning bodies, sweet and acrid like herbal incense that covered the stench of something fouler. The rest writhed on the ground as they attempted to recover their wits. Neve reached Catalia's side in an instant, expecting her to be weak. She drew up in surprise as Cat turned, pale but grinning, with the stigmata of Nurgle's plagues partially faded from her flesh. "What in the realms?" asked Neve.
"Morn tribe, take our magic from the lands. Put them into our fists," said Catalia. "I guess the lands are more powerful than Nurgle."
"Raw life magic, channeled through your vambraces," breathed Neve. "I feared this place would kill you, but with those on your arms and Sigmar's grace..." The warrior drew a deep breath, steadying her thumping heart. "Come, they won't stay down for long. We need to move." Neve punctuated her sentence by stamping hard on the throat of a groaning cultist who was trying to crawl to his feet. Catalia took her cue, and, after shaking out her aching arms, she clambered back onto Neve's back. Neve was away at once, picking up a swift path between her fallen foes and surging through the archway into another corridor. "I can smell clearer air ahead," she called back to Catalia, "and I can sense open space. We'll get you out of here soon, Cat, you've my word." Yet even as she ran, Neve prayed to Sigmar with all her might not to feel the sudden surge of magical energies that she feared at her back. Not until she had taken Catalia away from this awful place. Not until she had fulfilled her oath.
"Please, Lord Sigmar," she thought, "let me suffer if I must, but not her. She has a chance at a life I did not, and she has faced all of this horror without any of the gifts that you have given me. Please, let her live."
Some presentiment of danger prickled Neve's sixth sense.
The ominous feeling swept over her that she did not have long left. Heart hammering, she ran faster. The shadowhammers burst into Lord Unghulgot's inner sanctum with a mighty cry. Tarion charged with them, pelting through a puckered bone archway and launching himself airborne with a roar. Crean screeched as he swept alongside, while at Tarion's heels Lord Aquila Hawkseye thundered in at the head of his surviving paladors. They stormed along a wide stone bridge, with the Ranger and Raptor Brotherhoods sprinting in their wake. Sweeping high, Tarion swiftly took in the desperate battle filling the chamber. His heart sank at the carnage he saw. The vast library seethed with Rotbringers, from screaming cultists and bellowing Blight Kings, to flyborn elites and the revolting abominations of Lord Unghulgot's fleshcraft. Worse, the Chaos Sorcerer himself swept back and forth through the air, astride an immense hybrid of fly and dragon, whose distended maw vomited jets of acidic filth down upon the fight below. Tarion saw what remained of the Dreadwood Sylvaneth. They were terribly outnumbered, but fighting fiercely near the chamber's heart. He scoped the area and gauged that they had been driving for the dais where the stone bridges converged, but their momentum had failed them several hundred yards short. Now they fought in a slowly constricting ring, their dead piled around them, while the servants of Nurgle attacked from the air, from both sides along the stone bridgeway, and even by leaping at them from the nearest gantries. He got a split-second view of the Branch Witch, who stood at the circle's heart, screaming furious exhortations and brandishing a glowing metal canister. Then fly-mounted Blightlords were thrumming down towards him, and Tarion joined the fight. He wove aside as the lead Blightlord hurtled in, swinging his scythe in a deranged aerial joust. The huge blade cut the air near to Tarion's head and shattered several veins in his left wing. In return, he shot 6 arrows into the rider and another 3 into his steed. The blistering point-blank salvo sent the fly rider toppling from his saddle, with lightning coursing across his bloated body. His rot-fly steed followed him down, wings still thrumming and legs twitching in a mad dance of death. Tarion shot the next Blightlord through the shoulder, rocking him in his saddle, before tucking his wings and plummeting like a stone to evade the attack of the third. He saw too late that this last opponent had a huge bell trailing on a chain, driven into his steed's abdomen. The blunt lump of metal struck Tarion a glancing blow in the ribs, tolling with a flat clang as it rang off his armour. Tarion's controlled fall turned into a tumble as the impact hurled him sideways. He slammed into a library stack with bone-crushing force. Ruined tomes and shredded scrolls rained down as he scrambled for purchase, eventually managing to grab onto the mouldering shelves with his free hand. With a groan of effort, Tarion dragged a lungful of air into his bruised chest. He could feel ribs grinding together where the bell had struck him, and his armour was dented and crackling with lightning. He looked up to see the 2 remaining fly riders circling back around for another pass. Their flight erratic and wobbling as they brandished their scythes above their heads.
By rotsome slop and ruinous crew, grandfather shall sup upon your soul, yelled one of them.
Crean came from nowhere, a blazing projectile that struck the lead Blightlord in the face. The impact smashed the surprised Chaos Worshipper from his saddle and sent him tumbling like a fleshy boulder into the abyss below. Crean gave a fierce cry as he streaked away, and Tarion let out a laugh before launching himself airborne again.
In Sigmar's name, I shall add your sundered carcass to the tally of your foul kin, he yelled at the remaining fly rider.
His enemy heard him and shook his scythe menacingly, turning his steed and droning in towards Tarion with his wrecking bell swinging.
No, not falling for that twice, said Tarion.
He powered upwards, magical updrafts surging through his wings and propelling him over his enemy's head. At the same time he drew and loosed, drew and loosed, drew and loosed, raining crackling arrows onto the Blightlord and his revolting steed. Impaled and shuddering with electrical current, the rider and fly plunged away into the abyss, still glowing with the light of Sigmar's vengeance.
Tarion spat after him, then turned his attention to the battle again. Donastus led the Shadowhammer's charge home, slamming into the rear of a surprised enemy warband with the force of a raging typhoon. Even as they stormed into battle, a number of his paladors wind-shifted with expert skill and precision. They flickered into streaks of lightning and gale-force wind before reappearing on parallel bridgeways to slam into enemies who had thought themselves safe. Nurgle worshippers screamed as they plummeted into the abyss below. Others were mauled, their bloodied corpses crushed into the stonework by the griff charger's lithe bulk. The momentum of the charge was phenomenal, and Rotbringers spilled from the bridges like a fleshy bow wave as the Lord Aquila and his warriors forged multiple paths towards the beleaguered Sylvaneth. Behind them, Ranger and Raptor Brotherhoods dropped into firing crouches and sent hissing volleys of storm bolts into the Chaos forces. Cultists and Blight Kings, who had been scrambling across the gantries, were peppered with shots, toppling over railings to their doom, or slumping in carrion heaps upon the teetering metal frameworks. Aetherwings shot through the air, calling back to their Stormcast comrades in eerily human voices to warn of threats and direct volleys of fire. The foe reeled, but Tarion could see their full numbers and knew that they outnumbered the Stormcast and Sylvaneth combined, several times over. The foe would not be on the back foot for long. He dipped his wings and swept low, sending volleys of lightning arrows into the enemy as he flew. Crackling blasts flowed in his wake, marching along the nearest of the bridges and blasting foes from their feet. Tarion soared in above Donastus, Galahern Ironstrike, and Calparius Foerunner, matching their pace. Skimming above the charging paladors, he sent arrow after arrow whistling down to shred the tightly packed enemy and aid his lord's charge.
"What are your orders?"
yelled Tarion as he shot.
"This is not a viable conflict. It can't be salvaged without the Sylvaneth weapon," replied Donastus, slamming his blade through the chest of his next enemy and riding them into the ground.
The charge was slowing, Tarion saw, as the tight-packed ranks of the foe absorbed its momentum. Abominations bulled through the press of bodies to reach for the Stormcasts with stitch-ridden limbs. The Shadowhammers had reached maybe three-quarters of the way to the Sylvaneth, but it was not enough.
"We facilitate its invocation, then?"